Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
All right, so we started from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 last week. The Bible says God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. And we saw from last week on Wednesday that the power of God is hidden in the light that is coming. So if I can access the light of God, I can access the power of God. And we also know that the Bible declares and says that the entrance of the world giveth light and understanding unto the simple. So if I can sit down under the anointed ministration of God's word and allow it to enter my heart, the entrance of the word, not the hearing of it, the entrance of the word giveth light. If I can allow the word to settle in and enter into my spirit, then I know I can access the power that is hidden in that light. In the amplified version of Habakkuk 3:3-4, it says God approaching from Sinai came from Teman, which represents Edom, and the Holy One from Mount Paran in the Sinai region. Pause. Calmly think of that. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the sunlight. Rays streamed from his hand. And there, in bracket, in the sun-like splendor, that is within that light, was a hiding place of his power. If you want to know the power of God, you want to access God's power, then go for light. For encapsulated in light is the power and the anointing of God. Message translation says God is on his way again, retracing the old salvation route, coming up from south through Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Skies are blazing with his splendor. His praise is sounding through the earth. His cloud brightness like dawn exploding, spreading fog, lightning shooting from his hand. What power hidden in that feast. Glory to God. No wonder the Bible says that the arm of the Lord has brought us salvation. The Bible says from his hand light came, and from that light there is power. So when Jesus Christ was to be raised up from the dead, the Bible says his arm has brought us salvation. In other words, God stretched forth his arm right to the depths of hell to lift Jesus from there. Because the power is in the light that is coming up from his hands. Then you begin to understand such scripture that says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Because in his hands is light, and in the light is power. Are you with me? All right. Psalm 36 verse 9 says, for with thee is the fountain of light, life rather. In thy light shall we see light. In other words, the light we also need for our individual life, our business, our career, our purpose. You're looking for a particular direction, marital decisions. That light you need is also within the light that comes from God. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. So these people are walking in faith, and they know love, and they're also walking in love. They are not just, you know, young Christians like that. They are believers. They are matured Christians. Because Apostle Paul says, after I have heard of your faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. So these are people that have revelation of God's word in their heart, and they understand what it means to give your life to Jesus. They understand believers' authority, what it means to walk. And more so, they also understand how to walk in love, how to forgive quickly, how to let go, how not to keep offense, how to let go of bitterness. He says, I heard of your love to all saints. So these people that Apostle Paul was talking to are believers who, as it were, in quote, are spiritually attuned and are okay in their spiritual walk with God. They are doing great. But he said, I am still praying for you. In verse 16, he said, I cease not. So it's not even a one-time prayer. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In other words, I'm constantly talking to God about you. Despite the fact that I've heard about your faith and about your love, I'm still talking to God about you concerning these prayer points. In other words, the prayer point is about to mention is extremely important to us regardless of our spiritual level or where we think we are. We might think we are doing good, we are doing great, we're walking in love towards the brethren, and we are walking in faith. He said, but I'm still praying for you, this particular prayer point. In other words, this prayer point is extremely, essentially important. What is the prayer point? Verse 17, the first part of it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. So this thing is given. Come on, say it's given. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we know that this is not talking about earthly sensual wisdom. It's talking about heavenly wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of revelation. So there is a spirit of wisdom. There is a spirit of revelation. And the Bible says, I am praying that God will give. In other words, it's a valid prayer point, regardless of your spiritual level, to cease, not to mention in the place of prayer, that Lord, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The word wisdom in that verse is Sophias or Sophias. It's an old Greek word that was used to describe insight or wisdom that is not naturally attained. In other words, that wisdom is a special insight. It's not a You understand what I'm saying? It's not what your dad told you or your grandfather. It's something that comes from God. And then the word revelation, apokalypsis in Greek, it means something that has been veiled for a long time. Then suddenly, almost instantaneously, as if a curtain were drawn, pew, and then you suddenly see. That is what revelation is. What is not seen or hidden before suddenly becomes clear, explicit, and visible to the mind. That is revelation. And so what this is telling us is that there are things that are yet to be revealed to you concerning your life, your marriage, your home, your business, your career, your purpose in life, what you are called to do, why God has created you. And even if you have already found out, or it's been revealed to you, you understand that revelation is progressive. Everything will not be revealed to you. The only thing that will be revealed to you part time are the things you can handle. There are things if God show you right now, you can't handle it. So it won't show you. But there are things you can handle that you don't know. So you say spirit of what? Revelation. And the spirit of revelation comes upon you and it shows you a lot of things and speaks to you and tells you things. And every time he's talking to you, speaking to you, revealing stuff to you. See, Israel that I called out last week, okay, when he was ministering, God spoke to me and said, pray for him. I don't know why. So I obeyed and I prayed for him. Then after the service, he came to me to meet me in the office. He says, he's been fasting and praying for 30 days. I didn't know that. But the Spirit of God knows, God knows. So God said, pray for him. So there was something that needed to be transferred by virtue of the price he's paid. Now, how did I get to know that? The Spirit of Revelation. Are you following me? Okay, so why did I call Pastor Shekun to come and minister in worship? God said he has something to give as I was coming up. I've never had him sing or lead worship. I don't know, but I know he has released a track and all of that. But I didn't know he could lead worship. You see me asking him, are you into worship or praise? So what I'm trying to say is that the Spirit of God will reveal everything and anything, not just spiritual things. Everything and anything concerning the business you need to do, concerning that partner you want to go into business with and it's going to turn out bad, he will tell you everything. Everything. Oh, the Spirit of Revelation. It will tell you a lot of things. The Spirit of Revelation will tell me things about my sons while they're in school. Tell me about my wife while she's at work. Okay, so my wife will come back and I will tell her some things. I will say, how did you get to know? Spirit of revelation. And I know a lot of things about some of you, but some of you can't handle it, so I just pray. Are you following me? Because in time past, there are people I've called and I've told them certain things, and then they just run away. Just run away from me. Because now they made a mistake and they say, there's no point going to church. Pastor will know. So sometimes you don't want to say everything. You don't want to say everything. So the spirit of revelation. If somebody just finished fornicating, comes around, I'll just know. Was I there with them? No. The spirit of revelation. Somebody is pregnant and it's only 1 week, she doesn't know herself, I'll know. I'll just know. When she just walks by, I'll tell my wife, that person is pregnant. And then it'll come out like that. So somebody is pregnant, comes around me, I'll tell you the sex of the baby right away. How do I know? It's the spirit of revelation. I'm telling you that this beautiful, just like that. Because he said the spirit of God, he said the gifts of God are given unto us for everybody to profit with her. So it's not for me to profit alone, it's for everybody around you. Your parents, your siblings. It will reveal things to you. I remember when I was in school, I was a young pastor, but the spirit of, I've been praying this prayer for a long time. You pray this prayer consistently, you begin to see things, you begin to know a lot of things. Because if you're a believer, you are being raised as a prophet, not just to the nations, but in your family, to bring solutions to your family. And every believer can do that. You don't need to be called to ministry or be a pastor. Are you following me? So I was right there in Ogun State University doing ministry, and the spirit of revelation was upon me. And then I saw my younger sister, that she was going into a particular relationship with one guy who is outside the country, and that the relationship is going to turn out bad. And I saw my sister, I saw her like she was emaciated and looking sick, like somebody who had HIV and was wearing something like a rag and all of that. So now those were days when there were no phones and all of that. So the next time I saw her, I asked her, I said, how is your relationship going? He said, how did you know? Then she began to tell me, he said, this guy is in UK. In fact, he sent me wristwatch, sent me this, sent me that. Said, I'm going to go and meet him in UK. We're going to get married. I said, beautiful. I said, how did you get to know him? He said, oh, the proprietress of the school where I teach, that's his son. And, you know, and introduced her. I said, my son will like you. Said, that's the person she's going to marry. So I told her. I said, you won't marry that guy. He said, no. She spoke to me in Yoruba. This is somebody she has not seen in Yoruba. She said, Owo ti wo wo. Ese ti wo ese. That I should not do anything. No. He said, forget about prayer. That's how she told me. That's how convinced she was. And I told her, I said, well, there are some things I saw, but I couldn't tell her in detail so that fear would not, you know, overtake her. I said, but some things I saw, that's not your husband. He said, there's nothing I can do. I said, okay. So I went back. Now, because the spirit of revelation gave me that revelation, he also gave me the power that comes with to either agree with it or disagree with it. He said, whatsoever you allow on earth shall be allowed in heaven. Whatsoever you disallow on earth shall be disallowed in heaven. Somebody said, where is that in the Bible? That's another translation for whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Is that Matthew 18:18? And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever I allow will be allowed. And whatever I disallow, look at my children and say, I disallow sickness. That's the end. Sickness can't come. Are you following me here? There are several men of God in this country who are disallowing coronavirus. We have too many men of God in this place. I'm not saying they don't have men of God in other countries, but there's something about Nigeria and prayers. People are praying. It won't come. If it ever comes, it's to punish some people, but it won't come. It won't come. Are you following me? Somebody say, be deceiving. Somebody who is in UK say, be deceiving yourself there. It's because there's no way to test. It's already there. I said, no, nobody has died. And nobody is dying of Corolla or Toyota or whatever you call it. Are you following me here? So I went back in the place of prayer. And I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I throw a monkey wrench inside this relationship. You know what a monkey wrench is? A monkey wrench is a tool that is disorganized and scattered. If you throw it to anything, you just scatter everything. You just mess up everything. I said, I throw a monkey wrench inside this relationship. In the name of Jesus, they won't understand themselves. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying you can go and destroy somebody's relationship, like you are eyeing one particular boyfriend and he now went to propose to another lady and then you say, nothing will be thrown. That one is witchcraft and manipulation. The person I'm praying about, I have some level of authority over her as a priest in that family. And so I decide what happens. And God wants me to take a position. That is why he brought the revelation. Are you following? So I'm not saying you can go and manipulate people or I command that brother to come now and propose. Sorry. That would be witchcraft and manipulation. So I said all of that and I left it. So I saw her about 2 months after. I said, how is your relationship? He said, so the person that refused to call me has not called me. I'm not even doing gay. It's just, it sometimes happens like that. God will bring you your own husband. Now she's married to a pastor today. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the spirit of what? Revelation. It will tell you everything. Show you your husband, your wife, without asking. That's the problem. You don't have to pray, God show me. No. Once this, he said, I'm praying for you for the spirit. He didn't say, I'm praying that you will know purpose, that you will know your husband, that you know what to do. No. Spirit of what? Revelation. So the Holy Ghost decide what you want, what you should know and what you shouldn't know. So the things you ought to know, he will show it to you. That's why some things happen, I don't get to know about it. I say, it's not relevant. I'm not supposed to know about it. What I should know about, God will show me. Are you following me? God will show me. That's how it works. You just know a lot of things, including things that are not spiritual. Like, I'm at home, Mr. Sylvester is out of office somewhere, I will just know. And I'll pick my phone and call, where are you? Then we'll begin to stammer. You are not in the office. How did I know? That's the spirit of revelation. Why is the spirit of God revealing such unspiritual things? He reveals everything and anything. Are you following me? When I was in school, the Holy Spirit would reveal to me things about my classmates, my old friends that I've not seen in a long time. Maybe I saw them 15 years ago. I've just seen them in revelation and see some things. That's the spirit of revelation. Are you following me? Are you following me here? Tell your neighbor the spirit of revelation God will give unto you. All right, so that is Apocalypse. What has been veiled or hidden comes to clarity. The amplified version of Ephesians 1:17 says, I always pray. Can you see the word? I always pray. So you should always pray this prayer. I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Insight, mysteries. See the word secrets. So wisdom is a spirit. Revelation is a spirit. And I think they go together. That's why it says spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that when something is revealed to you, then you will have the wisdom to handle it. Are you following me? For example, you are in a particular meeting and the spirit of revelation comes and then you announce, two of you are here. You are homosexuals. Come out. Spirit of revelation is working. Spirit of wisdom is not operating there. It's either they don't come out, or they will come out and then you never see them again in church, because they will feel ashamed. So you don't want to call them out. Such things. And yet you still pray for them, because there's no distance in the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? Alright. So Genesis 41:38. Pharaoh said unto the servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. That's an unbeliever identifying in a man that this one has the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Spirit of wisdom and revelation will put you in a class of your own. People will see it above your contemporaries. They will know you are operating a wisdom that is beyond the natural. So both of you are in the line of the same business, but they're asking you how you're doing it. Did we not go to the same school? It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Verse 39, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. By the spirit of wisdom and revelation, an unbelieving king acknowledged God. Are you with me? Isaiah 11:2. Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Okay, let's say amen to this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Amen. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Amen. The Spirit of counsel and might. Amen. The Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen. Daniel 5:11. Let's see another instant. There's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. So they don't understand who God is. They don't know who God is, but they know the spirit in this man is different from the one inside the magicians and astrologers and Chaldeans and the soothsayers. So they said, look, this is a man in whom the spirit of the Holy Gods, in the days of your father, they were telling this particular king, that in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king. They are telling this younger king, look, even your father. I say thy father. You see the way they are telling them. Because he was arguing with them. He said, we know one guy. Spirit of the gods is in him. He said, who is he? He said, even your father. Thy father. He said, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, made Daniel the overall head of all magicians, soothsayers. Why? Because the kind of wisdom operating in him is different. What kind of spirit is that? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. One of the things that happened about Daniel was that the king had a dream and then he forgot the dream. So he's asking all his magicians, astrologers, soothsayers, Chaldeans, tell me the dream, tell me the meaning of the dream I had. He said, is that one is simple. What's the dream? He said, I can't remember the dream. You don't remember the dream? You want us to tell us interpretation? They told him that's not possible. No human being can know what your dream is. You only, you can tell us your dream. And the king was furious. So they went to call this Daniel. And Daniel went and had a dream. And in the dream, God showed him the dream that the king had. And then the interpretation. And then the king said, oh God, this is the dream you had. As I'm saying it, you remember. You saw this, you saw that. He said, yes, sir. That is the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. Are you following me? Are you still here with me? All right. In Acts chapter 6 verse 10, look at it. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he speak. Notice the spirit of wisdom and revelation. They were not able to resist. In other words, there is a special wisdom upon this person. I mean, we can't resist it. So the spirit of wisdom stabilizes the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation shows you what to do or what the situation is. The spirit of wisdom shows you how to do it or how to repair that situation. Again, what will the spirit of wisdom and revelation do for you? Verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1. I think this is where we stopped. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Can you see that? When the spirit of wisdom and revelation is upon you, he said the eyes of your understanding will what? I can't hear you. Enlightened. Now think of a pitch dark place and then a brand new car. Switch on the full light. You do what? You enlighten that place. The Bible is telling us that what the spirit of wisdom and revelation will do in your life is to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. Amplified, put it this way, he said, flooded with light. That your heart be flooded Come on, say, my heart will be flooded with light. No darkness. Are you following me? You know, when you are looking for something in the dark, it's difficult. I hope you know. It's difficult. No matter how beautiful or shiny that thing is, as long as in the dark, you can't see. But if there is light, isn't it so simple? You just go there, just pick it up. How many of us have stumbled before in the dark? Nepal, you know, if it's US, they may not understand. But this is Nigeria. You are watching a beautiful program on TV, all of a sudden in the night, Nepal, pew, everything be, oh, you say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. You're standing up, looking for something, pew, stumble. Why do you stumble? No light. The reason we stumble in life, relationship, marriage, business, home, no light. No light. The reason we stumble in our financial decisions, no light. The eyes of your understanding. Touch your eyes like this. Say, these are not the only eyes that I have. If any man had to depend on these eyes alone, that person is finished. There's eyes of your what? Understanding. Your understanding has eyes. So it says, when the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes upon you, that eyes of understanding is enlightened. My understanding has light to operate with. I will not stumble in the realm of understanding and interpreting situations. Are you still with me? The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, flooded with light, is powerful. People of God is powerful. I once met a particular prophet who was blind. He can't see a thing. When you see the way the eyes are, you know that this man can't see anything. And yet, one policeman walked up to us while I was standing in front. A policeman walked up to him and greeted him. And I said, ah, officer, bow on the uniform, but she's straight. Ah, I become straight. Straight, sir. That I've never seen anybody who is neat like that as a policeman. Everything was. He said, "Wubu, she's straight." And then he began to describe. Yahweh, uncle. He didn't have physical eyes, but the eyes of his understanding. They are what? They are enlightened. Flooded with light. So we have a lot of people who have physical eyes, but their eyes of understanding are blind. They will make mistakes. Too many mistakes. And when you make too many mistakes, your heart is hardened. Like, I don't think there is God. I don't think God loves me. Because now you have some money. You don't really have much money. Now you have some money. And then you invest in a bad business. And then you are smarting. After all, I pay my tithes. I go to church. I pray. Hey! After I've heard of your faith and your love, I cease not to pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Eyes of your understanding. Being what? Enlightened. Being enlightened. Being enlightened. So when I was in school, I had the option between like 2-3 sisters. But my eyes of understanding was enlightened. So one sister stood out. If my eyes of understanding were not enlightened, you'd just be seeing the three of them like this. Shade, Bimbo, Sube. Shade, Bimbo, Sube. Which is which, Lord? Ah, Shade. Shade is a good girl, Lord. She can pray a lot. Bimbo, ah! She knows how to cook, but she can't pray. It's not Bimbo, Lao. Okay, let me stop that example. Let's go on. So the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. Notice, it now says, that you may know. Can you see that? That you may know what is what? The hope of his calling. In other words, all of us here, there's a reason for which you got born again. There's a reason for which God called you. What is that reason? You don't know. Why are you here on the planet Earth? Are you here to study chemistry and then become, when you study chemistry, what do you become? Chemical? Is that all to it? No. There's a hope of his calling. Are you following me here? There's a hope of what? I hated chemistry with a passion when I was secondary school. Because that teacher will always beat me. For no reason. You say, what is this? What is this formula? I say tetrazo. Say tetrazo call. Give me your hand. And biology was my best subject. But that chemistry, it is well. So now look at the script. Okay, before I go there, the hope of his calling, now look at the next thing. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What this is saying is very simple. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So as believers, as children of God, we have an inheritance that we cannot see with our physical eyes. But how do I access my inheritance in God? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It will show you. It will show you. How do you access inheritance? Inheritance has to do with location, right? For example, grandfather passes away, leaves an inheritance, maybe a property for you. In order to manage that property, where you need to go and check it, take possession of it. Is that not so? How do you find out the inheritance, the riches of his inheritance in the saints? How do you find that out? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It will show you. That's where you should settle in. That's where you should settle in. That's where you should live. You don't choose where to live because of economic indices. Like, the way it is, Abuja is the one moving fast. I think I want Abuja. That should be your reason. Your reason should be knowing the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Because as a human being, you are a seed. You know, you came from just a seed. I hope you know. From your dad, just a seed. Tiny little you. That can't be even discerned with the physical eyes. You have to put it under a microscope to see it. You came from a seed. Fertilized the egg and then you began to grow. So as a person, you are a seed. And because you are a seed, we know that seeds don't thrive everywhere. There are seeds, you plant them in the north, you are wasting your time. There are some, they will only grow here. There are some, they will only grow there. That's why you don't plant granite on this side. That's why they bring watermelon from that side. Have you? You see them bringing in with truck. You see them bringing in beans. Have you? You see them bringing in granite. Because that granite will not thrive everywhere. If you see imported apples, it grows over there. It won't grow here. Why? Because a seed will not thrive everywhere. Sometimes it's geographical. Are you following me? So, you find out, God, where am I supposed to be? So when you decide yourself, I want to be there. So you plant yourself there and then there's no growth. Then you start looking for fertilizers that are not necessary to your destiny. That you could have grown naturally somewhere. Then you start looking for here and there and start doing this and doing that. See, you are a seed and there's a place that God has for you. Find out that place and then you see yourself flourish. Not everybody who is in the U.S. is flourishing. I hope you know that. Forget about the gloss pictures. Leave that side. Not everybody is flourishing. There are people who live under the bridge over there. I hope you know. They call them tramps. There are people who eat potato in the morning, potato in the afternoon, potato in the evening. Potato is poor man's food over there. There are people who go and buy chicken bones alone, to make stew. No money. And there are people who are meant to be there. You see the way they will flourish when they travel out. So don't sit down there and stop calculating, if I can just get to Canada, if I can just become a Canadian, I'm not supposed to be a Nigerian. Find out from God. There are people suffering in Canada. Are you following me? There are people who go there 4 years after they return and say, ah, Ayeli, if I have known, 4 years of my life wasted. He say, how? But you are sending us glorious picture. Say, forget that one. Are you following me? Years back, I had an opportunity to relocate to UK to go start a work. As in, it was just there. Come on, as it just, I was just easy. So when I went to pray, I had all these scratchy feelings in my spirit, even though as I wanted to really go, you know. I remember somebody looking at me and saying, ah, you are an IT person, you know. We don't have 4G and all these things then. So things are a little bit faster, better now. But those days, I was just limited by a lot of things. No good network, and I want to really explore. Say, ah, if somebody likes you, get to that place in UK. Ah, you flourish, you IT. I went to pray, that was scratchy feelings. I knew right away that I'm not supposed to go. And one of the principal reasons is because of you people here. Yeah, the one that tied me down, this Shout of Grace Center. All right? So, I said, I already in my heart, I disconnect that. I'm not going to go, even though the opportunity was there. Then I now met one person who came briefly from UK. So I was talking to him. He was just smiling, no truth. He said, what's my plan if I go? I said, well, I'll be coming back because I'm not, they said I won't go with my wife. So I'll be coming to check my wife every 3 months. He laughed. He said in vernacular, ni wo to ye pe to tutu ba mu e gbogbo wu e lo ma fi ra ita. He said it somewhere like, he said, if you go, forget about two years minimum 2 years, you won't see your family. I said, eh, that's a second confirmation I'm not supposed to go. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people, their marriages are ruptured because of this thing I'm talking about. You just travel out without making sufficient plan. You travel to US or to UK, leave your wife here. When you were here, they told you, learn to fast, learn to abstain from sex for like 1 week. You said, no, I cannot leave my wife for 1 day. You now traveled. 6 months, you have not seen your wife. Inside cold. And then you are going out one day. You met one lady, say, hey, handsome boy, how you doing? Let me give you some warmth. And you know that your Christian life is not too... If they say, after I heard of your faith and your love, it's not part of... So, it will give you understanding concerning the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it said, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them. Can you see that the minds can be blinded? The man can see physically, but the mind is blinded. That's the eyes of understanding are blind. Now, verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 1, it said, by having the eyes of your heart flooded. No. Go down. After that, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Move to the next slide. Meet there. Yeah. By having the eyes of your heart, come and say, flooded with light. There's no amount of darkness. There's light everywhere. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, KJV, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Now, this is where I want to end. But I need to show you something. Verse 19. Go to verse 19. And this is the second part of what will happen as a result of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And, can we read together? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Now, somebody said, this is the most powerful verse in the New Testament. Most powerful. And I tend to agree with it. Because when you first read it on the surface, right? What's the big deal about this verse? But I'll break it down for you in a few minutes now. You will know that it's the most powerful verse in the whole of the Bible. He says, when I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, flooded with light, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Then he says, what is the exceeding, come on, say exceeding greatness of whose power? God's power. To who? To us. He said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you will know this power. It's God's power, but it's to us what? Listen to me. If by virtue of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you understand this power, nothing can get you down again ever. No sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack, no demon. Look, all of the demons in hell combined, plus the devil himself, and all the witches and wizards, they won't get you. People like Apostle Ayo, Babalola, these kind of things, they know. What is the exceeding greatness? That he went to a particular city and went to meet the king. Please give us a land that so that we can build a church and hold our revival. And the king, wanting to punish him, gave him evil forest that nobody has entered in the last 500 years. That when they want to kill people, they throw them there. When they throw them there, you see how people will scream. He said, that place. So they called Apostle Ayo, Babalola, don't go there, sir. The king wants to kill you. He took his bear and went there. Are you following me? He rang his bell. He said, arise, O Lord, let your enemies scatter. People that were with him those days, that were holding cutlass to cut, willows as his entry, let's cut grass. Some of them are still alive today. They said they began to hear footsteps of people running in that forest. Like soldiers running and escaping. They began to hear. So after that sound went down, a mighty python came out from that forest. Big snake. And he headed towards Apostle Ayo, Babalola. How did he single him out in the crowd? Headed towards him. The man did not even move. I've forgotten one of that scripture he quoted, but he quoted one of that scripture. You remember the entrance of your word given light, and inside that light is his power. So the release of the word, the entrance of the word gives light, and inside the light his power is hidden. So when you release the word of God, you are releasing light, and in that light is power. So when you say, by stripes I am healed, that's not just a statement, that's light and that's power. So he quoted another scripture, and they said that python dried up like it was electrocuted. What power does he know? That man has come to a place he knew the exceeding greatness of his power. These are the kind of people like John G. Lake knew. John G. Lake, bubonic plague, similar to Ebola and coronavirus. The moment somebody is infected, if another person touches that person, the person becomes infected. In 2 hours, they die. So it was in South Africa. There was bubonic plague, and people were dying by the hundreds because nobody would bury them. So the epidemic was spreading fast. So the British people sent their folks with kids and all of that to come and evacuate all their citizens, of which John G. Lake was part of them. So when they did, those people were, because they were kitted and immunized, they were helping to bury, do all of that, they noticed that John G. Lake joined them, had no kit, no gloves, nothing. So they were watching him 1 hour, 2 hours, this guy was going to die. He came back the following day and continued. Then they called and said, oh God, come here. What's going on? How come you are not infected? And he quoted the scripture for them. Romans. That scripture is in Romans. Let me show you the scripture quickly. Quoted the scripture for them, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." In other words, Ebola plague is the law of sin and death that is operating. He said, "But there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ." He said, "That law is a higher law than the law of sin and death." And he said, "That law is operating in my system." They said, "Explain further." He said, "Okay. If any of this infected person touches me, the germ dies immediately because of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." They were looking at him. He said, "Okay, let's test it out. Bring your equipment. Take a spit from a dead man." He took. He said, "Observe it." They saw it. They saw the germs were alive, swimming. He said, "Put it on my hand." They did. He said, "Take a look at it again." They did. All those germs were dead. He said, "The Lord that is operating in this body, no germ comes near it. The germ dies immediately. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." He performed another experiment for them. There's a particular equipment they use. I forgot the name of that equipment, but the equipment is used to measure activities in the brain and some. I've forgotten. But what he did was that he asked them to attach the machine to himself, and he lied down and began to read scriptures. Began to read some chapters in the book of Psalms. After a while, he began to sing in tongues. After a while, he began to speak in tongues. You know, that machine went from, normally it shouldn't pass the middle. You know, it went from where it was, past the middle, went to the end, and the machine spoiled. They said, "What kind of waves were you generating by speaking in tongues?" See, what is the exceeding greatness? You won't know this power until you have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation will let you know that, you don't know the power you carry. You are now running from malaria. You that you're supposed to empty hospitals. Are you following me? Now let me show you how powerful this verse is. Go to the next verse. Yes. Okay, you can't see it well, but you can see those ones in red. Inside one verse, now in the whole of the New Testament, there are five words that are translated into power. Five words. Are you following me? Four of the five words are inside one verse. Four of the five inside one verse. Are you following me? The only word that is not here is exousia. All other words are inside this one verse. Why do we have them in one verse? Because verse 20, Ephesians 1:20, do we have 20 there? I don't think so. Let me read it. Ephesians 1:20. He says, "Which he wrought." See, this power that is towards us is what he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Those power, the combination of those four words was what he wrought. That's what he did to raise him up. Because Jesus, being buried, was a total mess. The Romans believe this man can rise again. They've beaten him to a pulp. Isaiah 52 described him as one wound. He was a wound. In other words, all the wound that was inflicted in his body, you couldn't distinguish one from the other. No. Everything was total wound. He said his visage was marred more than any man's own. You won't say, "Is this a human being on the cross?" Clearly, that's how messed up he was. That's why when he rose up, Mary said,
Do you know where they have kept him? He was still interpreting Jesus Christ from how they buried him. But he didn't know God wrought. When God wrought that power, when Jesus Christ rose up, he rose up a clean man. But God deliberately left the wound here. Well, let's just leave this one for them to be. Well, they won't know if they, let's leave this one. And some people that saw Jesus Christ, they said, that wound is still fresh. That wound in his palm is still fresh till today. So which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So he didn't just raise him, he now set him at his own right hand. It was that same power that did that. How did he raise somebody from the grave, healed him of all the wounds, and you couldn't distinguish anything from all the spears that were used, the javelin that was used to, he healed everything. And the power now set in. Now, for Jesus Christ to ascend and go to heaven, do you know what he had to go through? The devil is the god of this world, prince of the air. Demons, wicked spirit, principalities, they're in the atmosphere. He went through, none of them could stop. That power set in. Now, go back to verse 19. He says in verse 19 that this exceeding greatness of his power. You know why you don't know that power? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. When the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you will come to awareness of what you carry on your inside. That when you are praying the Holy Ghost, Zachary, it's not just chanting nonsense. Are you following me? Jaco was an evangelist, healing evangelist. Those people know this power. Somebody came to his meeting and had a cancerous growth on his face. Jaco looked at it, put his hand on it and yanked it off. And they told us, people that were there, that the skin became purple, later pink, and then it became like the flesh of a baby. Pulled the cancer off their face. It's this power, exceeding greatness of his power. In the meeting of A.A. Allen, one woman came off stage. This woman was obese. Obesity. When A.A. Allen lay hands on her, it was as if you puncture a balloon in front of thousands of people. That's the fastest weight loss I've seen. She just went and came back to how God created her. This is the power we're talking about. He said, oh, I don't believe all those things. Ah, your Babalola did more than that. In Nigeria. In Nigeria like you. Elisha. That man, go and read his history. You will know what this verse means. Go and read his history. He walked in crazy powers. In the order of the apostles, like Apostle Paul. Crazy power. Beyond human understanding. Because of understanding of the spirit of wisdom and what? And revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, go back to the next slide. What's my time? Let me see. Okay, let me round this up. So let me break it down for us. Why this is the most powerful verse. What is the exceeding greatness of his what? Power. That's the first Greek word power there, meaning dunamis. And dunamis means inherent power. Inherent power. Power that is stored up within. All of you have it. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you have dunamis on your inside. The best way to explain dunamis is when you have a rechargeable torchlight, for example. Okay? And then you charge that torchlight. So you can use it for some hours, right? Now, those batteries is on the state of dunamis. Inherent power is inside the batteries. However, they must be charged.
The way they get, the way your battery gets charged is when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? So the exceeding greatness of the inherent power that you have. Look at the next one. To us who believe according to what? The working. Look at that phrase. This power is inherent. It's on your inside. But it can just be there. Just like you can have inherent power in your house, but you refuse to switch on the light. You can have inherent power in your generator, but if you don't pull it, you have to work it. According to the working. I give you a generator, say, take it home. It's according to the working. Are you following me? According to what? The working. You see, you are a believer, you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you have inherent power, but it's according to the working. You have to work it. The Greek word is energia, and that's where we find the word energy. So you want some spiritual energy, you work it. How do you work it? Praise, worship, praying in the Holy Ghost, singing in the Holy Ghost. That's how you stir up dunamis on your inside. This is what God did to raise Jesus. You understand? And the same power is toward us. No power is greater than what is being described there. For God himself to raise Jesus, this is what he did. Are you with me? According to the working of his mighty Kratos. Kratos means ruling power. After you have worked dunamis, you begin to rule in your affairs, in your situations. You walk dunamis towards your health, you will rule, you will become healthy. Are you following me? According to the working of his mighty Kratos, power, the last word power is iskos, that means endowed power. So somebody can lay hands on you and endow that power. Say, by release grace over you, I release God's power. Go and do this. So when I was ordained, power was released over my life. Power. Grace. Said, from today, I remember those words. From today, go, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. From today, you have the license and authority to join people together in wedding. And several other things. So, now, every one of us have inherent power once you are filled with the Holy Ghost. But the working is where the issue is. Because until you work it, you won't get to Kratos. You won't rule. You've got to work it. Let me tell your neighbor, you've got to work it. The devil doesn't want you to work it. So he gives you work to do. Gives you work to do. Business chasing one girl up and down. It gives you work to do. You can't work dunamis like that. Are you for seven work? It requires concentration. It requires you paying the price. Literally. That's how it works. On the day that I told you I prayed for our fellowship while I was a student, and there was a strong move of the Spirit of God, people were slain in the Spirit. Early in the morning, God spoke to me and said, I want you to go and pray. And I spoke in tongues for 4 hours without knowing why. What was the process of God telling me? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's how it begins. Go and do this. So I went and I did that. And I literally walked dunamis for 4 hours. I remember in that fellowship ground, I was walking up and down, rain and motion, because I didn't have lectures on that day. And I did 4 hours. And I didn't know why. Until evening, the power of God filled the place. That same power was what God wrought in Christ. Ask your neighbor, what else do you want? If God himself
in risen Jesus took dunamis, energia, kratos, iskus, and worked it and wrought it in Christ to raise him. There's no other thing you need. That is why Apostle Paul said, I pray for you daily that I will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, eyes of your understanding being enlightened, flooded with light, that you may know what is hope of his calling, what are the rich, what is the exceeding greatness of his power, of his power. Remember Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1 or so, 1:10 or 3:10, he said, that I may know him and the power. This power is what he's talking about. And the power of his resurrection. He said, that's all I want. That I may know him and the power. You see, it's a knowing. When you know this exceeding greatness, it will give you that leverage you need in life. It will bring victory into your life. You will wake up in the morning with so much confidence in your venture or ministry or whatever you are called to do. You will so much be filled with a success mentality. I know. Because of the realization of the exceeding greatness of his power that is towards us. You won't wake up with fear. There's coronavirus, but do you know there's more fear than coronavirus? Fear is killing more people. Fear is killing more people. You wake up in the morning, you are not thinking coronavirus, you are thinking exceeding greatness. Will coronavirus catch God? The same thing which he wrought in Christ. When he now told us, when he raised him from the dead, that same power is what I'm praying that you will come to know. It's not enough to give your life to Jesus now. After I heard of your faith and your love, I know you are believers. But now I'm praying that he will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. In the knowledge of it. Eyes of your understanding being enlightened, flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He now says, far above all principalities, powers, and might. Stand upon your feet. Amplified version of verse 19. He says, so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable. Come on, say immeasurable. It can be measured. And the unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Lift up your voice. Begin to pray. Grant unto me spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ask God to grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Rando sabarate kani mandosha. Legrine zuzubra katayaba. Thank you, Jesus. Lembro shapakata hega. Spirit of wisdom. Revelation. Yakabasu zinisiha. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We don't have much time to pray that prayer, but it's a prayer you have to pray continually every day of your life.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at Keke Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.